Tim, we're back. Appetite for Construction podcast. Tim Ward, I'm John Masonberg. How you doing, Tim?
JP, I'm doing great. How are you this fine evening?
I'm good. You know, I was talking just a minute ago that we had a podcast earlier. You were in a bright red shirt, and now you look like you're in a tactical outfit. Like you're going to go sniping or something.
Snipe hunting. No, as I indicated before, it was earlier in the day when it was really nice and 60. Now it's dark and 40, and I was outside running some errands, and yeah, sorry, just a little bit chilly outside.
Dark and stormy. That gets you thirsty, doesn't it, Tim?
That's no kidding. This time of year, I'm still not sure of the whole time difference because when we fell back, my body still thinks it's waking up at 4 o'clock in the damn morning. So
Tim, about a month and a half ago, I think it was around that time, we were in Orlando, Florida for the Pantheon
Mouse event. House.
And that was beautiful weather. I mean, perfect location. First time I had ever been to this Pantheon event. And I got to say, it was like just killer. I mean, it was so good. It was so well put together. It was so well attended. The breakout sessions were good. And I must say, I we did one ourselves.
I was going to say, you're going to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was so, so good. And so we're excited today. We have a guest that he works with Pantheon, or not Pantheon, but Service Titan. So we're going to bring him on. What do you think?
Let's bring him on. Welcome, Anmol Basin. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Tim. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Real quick, everybody. Anmol Basin is the Chief Technology Officer for Service Titan. Prior to Service Titan, he was at LinkedIn. He was at Groupon. He was at Salesforce. These are all brands a lot of us in the industry are familiar with. But now he's the CTO of Service Titan.
Yeah, these are pretty well-known, you know, brands that he has worked with. But sorry, Tim, I interrupt.
That's okay. Anmol has a long history of building transformational cloud-based products. Prior to his role at Service Titan, he worked on a battery of LinkedIn data products, including job recommendations, ad targeting, LinkedIn talent match candidate targeting tools, and more. He also led Salesforce's Vertebral Einstein products and platform weaving into AI, which we'll talk a lot about later, across the company's sales, service, and marketing business lines. Most recently, he spearheaded the launch of Titan Intelligence. It's a software that brings the power of data and AI to the trades. I'm serious. Listen to this, everybody. To the trades on a scale that has never been seen before to improve the lives and businesses of contractors across the country. Anmol, what's going on in California?
Well, it's not nearly as cold as where you are, but you know, it's getting cooler. As they say, sometimes in trades, it's actually not the best time. It's like when the shoulder season hits and it's kind of like getting cooler. So, but overall, you know, it's beautiful, beautiful weather. So
you mentioned earlier that before we jumped on that you've been with Service Titan for 2 years. You said you must be doing something right, which I think you are. But take us through like your job, you know, every day. What is Anmol Basin, CTO at Service Titan? What, give us your job description in a nutshell.
Wow. Okay. I hop between email and Slack. That's what I do all day. No, I'm sorry.
That sounds like us.
It sounds just like us.
Yeah. Let's get real. Now, I think so. As the Chief Technology Officer of the company, I oversee product development that includes our product function, our engineering function, our data science and AI function, our design function, and our higher order customer support and triage function. Mm-hmm. So those are effectively, you know, the packaging is what we call research and development. So that's what that's the function I run for the company.
Yeah.
And my day, as I said, is jumping between short and long of like tactically fixing specific issues with our site, with our product, or also sort of getting into sort of technical discussion around how to implement certain features, to going back to business, which features would most resonate with our customers, how should we go to market with them, et cetera, et cetera, and then jump back into people and organizational stuff.
Yeah. So Tim mentioned, you know, some of the, you know, your background working with LinkedIn and Groupon and Salesforce, all that great experience. You know, what can you share a little bit about the background and how it helped you, you know, fit right in with ServiceTitan?
Well, I'll try to keep it as short as I can. Grew up in India, did you know, high school back in India, moved to the States in hopes of, I did undergrad back in India too, and then moved to the States like lots of, you know, immigrants do for a better, brighter future. I got introduced to, in my master's program, computer science, but more importantly, what we would call search and machine learning. So this is like 20 years prior, before AI was called machine learning, before which it was called AI, and these cycles kind of go like that. But anyways, I think that really just sort of set the foundation of my interest into search and machine learning and AI. And then ever since I joined LinkedIn, where I built a bunch of these data products, as we would call them back in the day, but algorithmically sort of optimized to do recommendations of jobs and so on and so forth. And that was a fun ride for 7-8 years. I then moved to another consumer company, Groupon, which obviously, I mean, again, that's a name that's pretty familiar to folks, generally speaking. And it's a little older generation company now, but they also had a pretty sizable set of products that employed algorithms to do better recommendations, better pricing, better supply chain management with respect to the number of deals that they want to surface on their platform. So anyways, like leading into Salesforce, and I think after Groupon, I was kind of done with consumer product. Not because I don't love consumer products, I mean, we all use consumer products, but I really was missing the enterprise side, which is like what software product resonates with the enterprise customer, the people for their day-to-day work versus you and I as a consumer who use different products. So that's what took me to Salesforce. Salesforce, I ran first their search function and then expanded into what they called Einstein, which is the AI sort of battery of features and products for Salesforce. And as I was kind of like, Salesforce is a great company, don't get me wrong, but after 5 years, I started to feel like maybe I'll just, you know, retire here, because it's like that company, you know, where you can just do just what is needed and just move along. And I thought, well, the excitement of going to a smaller company, impacting a industry that is probably underserved, and bringing some combination of my software engineering as well as my AI sort of background and experience where I can put it to better use, frankly, is where I found ServiceTitan, luckily. And that's how I fit back in.
Well, you picked a good area of study, machine learning, artificial intelligence. I mean, it's we want to say it's the future, but it's here, right? I mean, we're all collecting data and using it for good. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, like, oh, it's a scary thing sometimes, or it can be intimidating, but it can be used for so much good and, you know, positive things in ServiceTitan for contractors and consumers, right? This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.
I tend to agree. I think you mentioned AI and data. I think it's such an interesting transition as we look at our history. When we talk about industrial revolutions and so on and so forth, this is probably, I don't know, by my counting, the sixth industrial revolution, even though the fifth one was never officially declared, that data was the fifth one. But AI is actually taking it one more level forward, which is what fascinates me most. And it's happening in my lifetime, so I'm excited about it.
We focus on contractors in the HVAC and plumbing and mechanical markets. A lot of small companies, maybe 1 to 10 trucks in their portfolio. How primed is that market? And are they ready to invest in software and services such as ServiceTitan?
Maybe two parts to your question. First part, I think, how primed is the market? I think the market is extremely primed at this point, and I'll tell you why. But historically, I think trades and construction previously, I read a report probably 6 to 7 years back when we talk about digitization and the penetration of digitization into industries, and construction and trades were like 47. Agriculture was somewhere in 48. And they didn't explicitly call out trades, but basically they called services, which was on 49. And this is 6, 7 years back. And it was pretty obvious that, you know, the pace of digitization, how it came into the head of the distribution, these large, more sophisticated, larger enterprise presence companies hadn't gone to these, you know, long tail, and I don't mean long tail by size, but these long tail industries which have not quite been touched by technology. And I think in the last 5 years, as we've seen this pretty dramatic penetration or digitization across the board, to the extent that, you know, ServiceTitan is a great example of that. You know, thousands of customers at this point who are very much in that cohort, as you described, 10 to 15 technicians or 10 to 15 trucks, who are absolutely leveraging either ServiceTitan or some software of that nature, not just these products, but also sort of ERP systems or accounting systems, because I think we are past the point where all the books are kept by hand and so on and so forth. I don't think that's the world we live in anymore. And if anybody is still living in that world, unfortunately, I think it's about time that they move on and get. So I think from that standpoint, it's super primed. We are seeing tremendous traction in the market for the size of the customer, that the size of the business that you described. And as far as, you know, you talk about like adoption of newer upcoming technologies such as AI, I actually think AI is so fascinating because it levels the playing field. Historically, larger companies could afford it. You needed to buy expensive tools. You needed to buy expensive experience, if you will, from an employee's standpoint, who kind of understood the underlying technology stack and so on and so forth, and be able to program to it. I think what has happened in the last probably year and a half, I want to say, is actually leveled the playing field like nobody's business, because the barrier to entry is suddenly dramatically dropped. If you think about ChatGPT, I can talk to that. I don't need to code, for what it's worth. So I think that's how I see the sort of dramatic acceleration is what I see on the horizon.
Anmol, we were talking about the ServiceTitan event and the Pantheon. And during the opening keynotes, I mean, I felt inspired by, like, you know, the talks, the speeches. They called out some people in the crowd, and they got examples of how, you know, they started as a smaller company, and with ServiceTitan's help, they grew exponentially. You know, I don't remember the figures off the top of my head, but there are some pretty big names that were at this event, like Tommy Mello and Ishmael Valdez. And, you know, they're giving testimonials about the benefits of ServiceTitan. So take us through, like, how does ServiceTitan get involved with a contractor from the, you know, the initial process to, you know, that very successful mark that they were talking about on the floor there. I was really inspired by it.
Yeah. Well, happy to do that. Actually, I mean, Tommy and Ishmael both are, you know, very valued customers. We thank them for, you know, the great partnership. And your question specifically stems at, like, effectively, are teams reaching out to specific businesses, or we get an inbound request to sort of, you know, get a demo of our product and what have you. So I think it starts obviously with sort of understanding the specific market or trade that the business is in. What is the size? What is the aspiration of the business? Where do they want to go in whatever time horizon, which is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years out? And once we kind of sort of triangulate these elements, we start to position what our product can do to facilitate that aspiration or where they want to go with respect to its efficiency or top level, top line growth, or expanding into different trades. What is their objective? Where do they want to go? And I think that's where our sort of demo and sales motion starts to sort of explain, look, this is how we help the tradespeople across the board, across the trades we support. And that's a large set of that. And the way we think your business is at this current juncture where our product is very wide and robust, you don't need to get intimidated by it. But what you could do is you could start with these three functions, call it, you know, okay, marketing or job scheduling or dispatch. And let's start there, get you off the ground. And then what we end up doing is almost programmatically, but I mean, there's a very concerted motion that has been built by multiple years of sort of experience by working with, at this point, thousands of customers, but also a very rich domain set of expertise that is resident at ServiceTitan. We have a lot of subject matter experts who are tradespeople who work at ServiceTitan. So they have seen their own businesses grow, that sort of, you know, friends and families, businesses grow. And so they have brought the best practices. What we have tried to do is encode those best practices in our product, but also a guidance software that actually runs on top of our product, which we call lovingly called Titan Advisor. And that Titan Advisor is sort of, it takes a business from where it is, and it, as it activates on ServiceTitan, and then correspondingly keeps giving you the next set of things you need to do to then activate certain functionality, whether it's sending purchase orders through the product or what have you, to go drive the specific efficiency or top line measure that you as a business want to achieve. And that's a journey. So we call it customer journey, basically, so that we have a tool for our customer journey, and our customer success and service teams leverage this tool to work with each customer individually to then take them through the journey about how they go about building out their business over the years.
Are the implementation timelines varied customer by customer, or is there kind of a standard timeline for implementing the various products that you may be, products or services you may be using as customer?
Yeah, I think implementation timelines to get the basic stuff off the ground, which is, let's say, the two or three core pieces of functionality, is pretty standard for what it's worth. So that is pretty consistent across different customers. But as you get into specific trades or specific sizes of businesses, that's where the sort of variation starts to happen. Also, I would say size is a good consideration, because lots of our customers and our business, their businesses, you know, people of the trades are hardworking people. They're out doing work. And so the amount of support in the office is arguably limited in certain cases. In certain cases, it's more pronounced. So it's easier and faster when somebody, maybe folks in the office who are able to sort of take our software, start sort of getting accustomed to it, and then activate the next and the next and the next module. Versus smaller operations, which take a little bit longer out to activate the more advanced features.
I wanted to ask, you know, kind of the history of ServiceTitan. Like I said, we were at this Pantheon event in Orlando. It was very well done. Last year, I think it was at like the Coliseum in Los Angeles. I mean, from a company to go to that level, it's just pretty remarkable, I think. So kind of you take me through like an abridged version of the history of ServiceTitan.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might bungle a couple of dates here and there, but overall, what fascinated me as well as I was thinking about joining SurfStudent a couple of years ago was the founders, frankly. I mean, the founders are, you know, they come from immigrant families, much like myself here. They their parents moved as refugees from Armenia back in the day. They both were tradespeople. Electrical and plumbing. They worked hard to bring up their kids and give them the best education they could afford. Both were computer science graduates, Stanford and USC. And they happened to meet at a Armenian ski outing.
I think I did hear that. Yeah.
And you know, they both kind of hit it out because they had similar backgrounds and, you know, both their parents were in trades and so on and so forth. And they both suggested that, you know, it's a pretty archaic. I mean, both being computer science graduates, is that these systems are so archaic. It's so painful.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way, right? Yeah.
And I think that's sort of actually, you can see it in the product. You can see it in the culture of the company. It is personal to them. And as a virtue of that, it just becomes personal to us being employees of the company because it's so imbued in our culture that we are trying to not make software for the sake of making software. We're actually trying to make trades, the industry we serve, better. And so software is just a tool to facilitate that cause. And that's really how I think this company is, you know, sort of continued to shine. And as a next set of sort of things that they did pretty phenomenally well, if I think about it, is as I was describing, how many product managers, how many exec team members, how many customer service or customer success team members or execs are tradespeople? So they came from trades. So we have captured sort of best of the best minds of who have run businesses in this industry and captured the best practices, codified into our product. And that's really what we are serving back.
Well, as we talked about at the very beginning, and we've talked about throughout the first 22 minutes of this podcast, as we're at Pantheon, we walked away talking about AI and artificial intelligence is here. It's been here, but it's now adopt or die. That's basically what I feel it is, adopt or die. Can you walk us through exactly what Titan Intelligence is and the cutting edge solutions that it gives contractors?
So Titan Intelligence is sort of a collection of features and capabilities in our product. So it's a brand, if you think about it, which is incorporating AI into ServiceTitan. So that's what we call Titan Intelligence. So it's a collection of things. It's not just one thing. And it started, the genesis of it started from the standpoint of, we have now a large customer base across multiple trades across North America. And we can easily start to, in a completely anonymous fashion, start to slice and dice, you know, performance and job data and trends across what we are seeing in our customer base in a completely anonymous fashion and just start to serve that intelligence. So then businesses like you do these practices and you see what results they get. So that's what the genesis of Titan Intelligence was, to start to what you would call in classic sort of computer science literature, market or data mining literature, market basket analysis, which is businesses like you do the following. Subsequently, we looked at opportunities where we saw some part of our product was not efficient. For example, or the part of the business that our product was facilitating was not the most efficient way to do that. For example, is dispatch. Dispatch is a classic one where jobs keep coming in. You have technicians, their time, you know, that time shifts are available, their skill sets are available. Some jobs take longer. Some days somebody doesn't show up for work and so on and so forth. So dispatchers are playing this Tetris games like, you know, fit to stick job here and so on and so forth. It is an art. I have sat through probably 24 hours sitting with a dispatcher learning and seeing what they're doing. And it is an art. I'm like, crap, I can't do this. But if you think about it in the sense of automation or computer science or what have you, you start to position this as an optimization algorithm, which basically says, look, I have these slots and I have these capacities that I need to fill. And wherever there's a match with respect to skill set, so this is a job about repairing an HVAC system, which is 10 years old or what have you, and then whatever specialization required, if I have an available capacity, then I can map. And I can do it in a global sense. What I mean by global is basically all jobs and all technicians for a set time frame, such that it optimizes either top line revenue, because we predict every job's revenue ahead of time. So that's a Titan intelligence feature. We will predict what is this job worth, or minimize the drive time for a set of technicians to drive to these jobs, or constrain the drive time but maximize revenue, essentially. So this is an optimization problem. So what we started to do was a targeted focus on these kinds of issues where we saw the customers were doing certain functions that could be supercharged by algorithms. And so Dispatch is a great example. We have now a product called Smart Dispatch or Dispatch Pro, which basically automates dispatch to a point where you can set, look, I want no technician to drive more than an hour to a job. I want to maximize top line revenue, et cetera, et cetera. Don't change a job when I've manually placed the job on with a technician. Don't change that. So it respects a bunch of like constraints, but everything else, every 10 minutes, it optimizes your board for top line revenue. So from a dispatcher standpoint, just the capacity that they get is so phenomenal, because the industry trend was that, you know, you get one dispatcher for every 10 technicians. But with this tool, you have one dispatcher for 50 technicians, 40 to 50 technicians now, because it's up. So this is an example, but there are more. How many times have we heard our customers suggest that there was a phone call that came in? It was dispositioned because for whatever reason it was a lead, but didn't qualify as a lead in an offline setting. What we end up doing is we take the transcript, we analyze the transcript automatically, and suggest, no, I think this is a lead. You may have dispositioned it, but this is a lead. So make a call back. And by the way, you should call this number at a certain point in time in the day to actually maximize the chances of actually this lead converting. So if you look at, these are very sort of peculiar scenarios where we saw opportunities for optimization and we started to sort of put in algorithms there to facilitate outcomes for our customers. And if you bridge that and collect all of these features together, that's what Titan Intelligence is.
So basically, it's best practices for the contractors using it.
Best practices for the contractors using it, done algorithmically to facilitate specific outcomes of top line revenue, efficiency, and effectively creating more time for the employee base.
We as tradespeople shouldn't be afraid of AI, should we?
I think we all, not just tradespeople, should be afraid of AI if we don't use it. We should not be afraid of it if we use it. I think it's one of those things you've already mentioned that, you know, like people talk about AI has been coming, but it's now here. And I think that is the crux of it. It's already here. So we have two choices, either get shaped by it or we shape it. So my ask, and consistently I've done it two times at Pantheon as well, to say is like, my ask of all of our customers and partners and, you know, tradespeople, the industry, is help shape it versus get shaped by it.
Tim, well, you've seen the Terminator movies where, like, you know, we're fighting against Skynet, and, you know, that's what I think people think of. Like, there's going to be these robots taking over the world. So it's a little different scenario.
Yeah, I you know, look, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, well, I'm worried about using all this software because then they could hack me and somebody could have access to A, B, and C, my financial accounts, my customer accounts, and all this. And I'm thinking, you deal with the bank every day online. I'm looking at my phone for stocks, and there's so many other things we should be worried about. I mean, Amal, I'm sure that hacking is an issue that is something that as a company that deals in technology, but you've got safeguards and all kinds of safety nets in place, I'm assuming.
I cannot emphasize how important this is, because it's a very real threat. Real cybersecurity is a real issue. And thankfully, there's a lot of investment that has gone on over the years, both in the academic as well as the technology sector on cybersecurity. It's one of those things that we take very seriously, the privacy and security of the data that our customers entrust with us. And that's the only way we can be in business, frankly. And it is an ongoing thing. So you don't just put some measures and say, forget about it, because hackers, it's like this enemy that never goes away. So you have to keep up your game. And I think our investment is consistently not only increasing, but also being at cutting edge. So all this AI stuff that we're just talking about, it is the similar set of technology that we are placing against safeguarding against nefarious actors, if you will.
So 2 years you've been with ServiceTitan. Can you give us kind of behind the scenes of what may be next? What's the next big thing with ServiceTitan?
Okay, I will give you what I'm authorized to say, for what it's worth. Okay. Look, I think first and foremost, since we talked about AI a little bit, I think it is a very commonly shared belief in our founders, in our executive team, management team, that this is here to stay. AI is here to stay. Mm-hmm. And trades, like every other industry, deserves the best in terms of tools and technology that we can bring to the trades. So we will be on the forefront, if not leading, of bringing the best capability set of AI in a very sort of appropriate to our industry sense, where it's applicable, where it drives value versus gimmicky, to the trades. So that's one priority that you will continue to see for the next, I don't know, 2-3 years at least, till it becomes so commonplace and pervasive, like it's like the, not novel, but I think we need to be there. Second, I think we are very actively pushing the envelopes of, you know, expanding our trades, including commercial servicing sort of customers as well, who are in the B2B serving commercial customers. So that's an expansion area for us. And outside of that, I think if you look at the core product, our core product continues to get better and better and better. Not just from the standpoint of new capabilities, but, you know, we had graduated people from spreadsheets to a software, and now the bar has been raised. So now it's about simplification and automation within the product. Mm-hmm. Of things that took 17 clicks should take 2 or 0. Right. So there's a big thrust of simplifying the complexity in our product as well.
JP, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell the audience this was not a paid for podcast. I didn't want it to sound that way. John and I were just very impressed being at Pantheon, interacting with friends of ours that use the product. Yeah. Hearing them, how they brought their 5-truck company to a 20-truck company in a matter of years, you know, meeting some of the vendors that were in the expo area, some of the partners that ServiceTitan work with, and some of the technology that they're using. It was just quite impressive. And we just wanted to have an opportunity to talk to you, Amal, to, you know, shine some light on ServiceTitan and some of the things that you're doing for the contractors, because you know, John and I have always, our mission since day one of Mechanical Hub Media was to make contractors better and smarter at what they do on a daily basis. And we think that, you know, products like ServiceTitan are things that allow contractors to be better at what they do on a daily basis.
I couldn't have said it better, Tim. That was very, very well spoken.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the conversation. It's been pretty fascinating.
I just have a personal question for you. You said when you were you finished high school in India and then you came over to the U.S. Do you still have family over there?
I do. I do. Yeah. My parents and my
how often do you get over there to visit?
Not often enough. Let's just say that.
because it's a very, I think it's on my bucket list to visit. And I'm just, you know, I kind of, it's kind of like a romantic kind of dream to get over there and check out the country. So,
John, I've told you this. I went for a week, spring break of my senior year in college. My government class went over to Mumbai for 10 days, and it was quite an experience for me in 1992. It was just, I saw things that I had never seen before growing up in the United States. It was an eye opener for me. I had some of the most great, I had some of the greatest food I've ever eaten, but I also saw some of the most abstract poverty I'd ever seen. So it's a beautiful country, though.
I mean, just the sheer diversity is pretty fascinating. Yeah. It's a treat for your senses because it takes you in every direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had friends that go there. They say it's a spiritual, you know, trip for them. And yeah, I'm just kind of living vicariously through you and see if you get over there. You know, like you said, you're not as much as you should be, but, or you could be, but anyway. That's pretty
cool. I mean, I hope you make a trip soon, John.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Amo. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Jumping on and talking about service time. As Tim said so eloquently, we had a great time. It was such it was well worth our time to be there. So thank you.
That was fantastic. Great to hear that. Thanks for this conversation. I appreciate it.